My name is Richard Hughes. I'm Distinguished Professor of Religion and Senior Fellow in the Ernest L. Boyer Center at Messiah College. And I'm reading today from my forthcoming book, Christian America and the Kingdom of God, to be published by the University of Illinois Press in July of this year. Last time I read from the introduction to this book. Today I want to read briefly from a section of the book that talks about the way Scripture understands the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is one of the central themes in the New Testament text, and the phrases Kingdom of God and Kingdom of Heaven appear there some 100 times. The mere frequency of those phrases suggests that it may well be impossible to grasp the overall message of the New Testament text unless one first comes to terms with the meaning of the Kingdom of God. The same two ideas that stood at the heart of the Kingdom of God motif in the Hebrew Bible also stand at the heart of the Kingdom of God ideal in the New Testament. Those two ideas, as we know by now, are the themes of peace and justice. The vision of peace looms large in the New Testament text, as when Jesus, for example, counsels his followers, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Or when he tells them, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Or when the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but live peaceably with all." What must be said about the theme of social and economic justice in the New Testament's presentation of the Kingdom of God is this. It is closely linked to concern for the poor, the dispossessed, those in prison, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and all those who suffer at the hands of the world's elites. In other words, the Kingdom of God is where the powerless are empowered, where the hungry are fed, where the sick are healed, where the poor are sustained, and where those who find themselves marginalized by the rulers of this world are finally offered both equality and justice. There is therefore great continuity between the vision of the Kingdom of God in the Hebrew prophets and the vision of the Kingdom of God in the New Testament. And Jesus, the founder of the Christian religion and the centerpiece of the New Testament text, stood squarely in that prophetic tradition. But two additional ideas characterize the meaning of the Kingdom of God in the New Testament text. Donald Crabill put his finger on the first of those ideas, the paradoxical dimensions of the Kingdom of God, in a book he entitled The Upside Down Kingdom. Simply put, the Kingdom of God is that kingdom where the poor and the weak are exalted, while the rich and the powerful are brought low, where one achieves greatness not by pursuing success and ambition and self-interest, but by emptying oneself on behalf of others, where the wise are foolish and the foolish are wise, and where one preserves and enhances one's life not by pursuing health and wealth and success, but by dying to self so that others might live. Put another way, the Kingdom of God requires what most human beings would never anticipate, what most would view as nonsense, and what most, therefore, would tend to resist. Thus, when we think success lies straight ahead, the Kingdom of God takes us backwards. When we think we need to go up, the Kingdom of God takes us down. And when we think we can meet our goals by going in one direction, the Kingdom of God takes us in quite another. This is why the Kingdom of God is so fundamentally paradoxical. In our analysis of the Hebrew Bible, we saw hints of this paradoxical dimension of the Kingdom of God when, for example, Zechariah told of the king who would ride on the donkey. But in the New Testament, especially in the teachings of Jesus, the theme of paradox emerges full-blown. The fourth theme, central to the New Testament's understanding of the Kingdom of God, is this. When the New Testament uses the phrase, Kingdom of God, The context is almost always a struggle between the reign or rule of God on behalf of the poor and the dispossessed on the one hand, and the empires of this world that serve powerful and privileged elites on the other. Indeed, the kingdom of God offers a radical alternative to imperial regimes. This is why Donald Crabill describes that alternative with the adjective upside down, since the kingdom of God always exalts the poor at the expense of the rich, the powerless at the expense of the powerful, and the weak at the expense of the strong. The immediate context for what the New Testament says regarding the kingdom of God was the first century world ruled by Imperial Rome. In that world, there was no middle class, but only rich and poor, the elites and the dispossessed. The elites, who comprised only 3% of the population, aligned themselves with the imperial power, while everyone else fell into the remaining 97%. The world defined by Imperial Rome, therefore, was a world that exalted the rich at the expense of the poor, the powerful at the expense of the powerless, and the strong at the expense of the weak. Precisely for that reason, the New Testament consistently views the empire as the arch-villain in the biblical drama. After all, the empire consistently built its wealth and power on the backs of those for whom the New Testament expresses the greatest concern, the powerless and the poor. These are the conclusions of some of the best and most recent New Testament scholars, including, for example, Warren Carter, Richard Horsley, Neil Asher Silberman, Barbara Rossing, John Dominic Crossan, Jonathan L. Reed, and others.
This has been Listen Up, a Messiah College podcast. This episode of Listen Up was produced by Katie Manzullo. For more information or to listen to past episodes, please visit the Listen Up website at blogs.messiah.edu/listenup.